Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 10 through verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. This is Peter speaking. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which was set at naught of you builders, speaking of the Jews, which has become the head of the corner due to the resurrection. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, Peter, John, and the man who had been miraculously healed, they're before the council of the Sadducees, who are at this point very disturbed. Again, the day before, this man who had been lame for 40 years had been miraculously healed. We see that after he was healed, he walked into the temple praising God. The people in the temple were very familiar with him. They passed him every day and were very accustomed to seeing him lying there and begging. And we see that when they saw him walking and heard him praising, they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. The people in the temple rushed toward Peter and John and this man who had been healed. We see this in Acts chapter 3. And Peter proceeds to tell them that it was Jesus who was the cause of this man's healing. And he preached Christ to them, and this, of course, greatly disturbed the Sadducees. And they arrest Peter and John and this man who had been healed. And then because it was toward evening, they jailed them. And the next day, they are brought before the council. And they're asked there in verse 7 of Acts chapter 4, by what power, by what name have you done this? And Peter gives his answer in verses 9 10, makes some application beginning with verses 11 and 12. In Peter's words, we see twice, verse 10 and verse 14, that the man who had been lame for over 40 years is standing. So he's standing before this council. They're accustomed to seeing him lying down. And Peter declares, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even, an adverb used to emphasize something surprising or extreme, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And then he begins to apply the message of by him to their desperate need of salvation, which we saw this morning. We want to take the main thought this evening from those words, by the name of Jesus, even by him. And we read in verse 14 that the members of this council are beholding the man which was healed, standing with them. So there's Peter and John, and there's this man standing with them. I don't know why, but I picture him standing between them. It really doesn't matter. But they're beholding him. They're paying very close attention to this individual. And as they behold him, they really see a man who is of no real significance. But there he stands. recipient of a miracle. Mary stands victorious. As they behold him, they see a man who was born in such a condition that he could not walk, could not stand, who had lived his entire life for over 40 years, a slave to his condition, but there he stands. And they're beholding him, watching him very carefully. They see a man that could not be fixed by the religious world. Daily he was laid at the temple gate. Daily someone carried him there and positioned him before the gate to ask of alms. But all the money of the religious community could not help this man. And they behold him. They see a man that has been transformed. No, they cannot debate that. And they come to that realization as you read down a little further in Acts chapter 4. They realize that they could not refute the miracle. And I imagine that's why they were beholding him, hoping to see something that they could use to refute the reality of this man's healing. So the account begins in chapter 3. In verse 2, with a certain man lame from his mother's womb, he's been carried and he's been laid at the gate of the temple to ask of alms. When we come to Acts chapter 4, he's standing before the council whole. He has been healed. He has been restored. He has been made right. And as they are beholding this man standing with them, ringing in their ears words that they could not escape, "By him doth this man stand before you whole." And that's what infuriated them. By him. By him. It's not that the man was made whole that infuriated him. It was the fact that it was by him, by Jesus Christ. They could not stand Jesus Christ. But they could not escape those words. It's by him. It's by him. So there's been a transformation of this man's life. And it's all by him. Now that's true regarding our salvation. It's all him. It's all him. But it's also true, something we seem to forget from time to time. It is also true when, with regard to the Christian life, the life that we are called to live. It's by him. We must not lose sight of that. So we want to speak on Jesus, an exclusive way of life, again, in an age of pluralism. The life that you and I, the saved, are called to and responsible to live is by him. It cannot be lived any other way. If you try to live this life any other way, you will fail. You will fail miserably. By him. That's how we're to live. That excludes all other ways. Now, when it comes to Christianity or Christian living, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of methods. There's a lot of programs concerning living the Christian life. But you can throw all of that away. It's by him. It's the only way it can be done. It is by him. So first of all, we want to consider that he is the source of this life. Jesus declared this truth in John 15 and verse 4. He said, "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. That's just a natural truth. No one would argue that. And then in light of such, he declared a fundamental truth concerning the life that we are called and responsible to live. He goes on to say, no more can ye, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He's exclusive. There's no other way. And then in verse 5 he said, and without me, ye can do nothing. That upsets a lot of God's people. A lot of God's people struggle with that. But you'll never live the life you're supposed to until you realize that without me, you can do nothing. Because it's all about Him. It's all about Him. So in this day of pluralism, which has even crept into Christianity, and in this day of pluralism, Christianity, there is a Christianity, so-called, that has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing at all. Has no interest in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians and they don't have the least bit of interest in Jesus Christ. A brand of Christianity that is not influenced by Jesus Christ, when you really get down to it, has no experience of Jesus Christ, and that is opposed to Jesus Christ, opposed to His teaching. There's a lot of people that call themselves saved, a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and yet they're opposed to almost everything Jesus Christ taught. But that's pluralism. They think there's other ways. But there isn't. It's by Him. It's by Him. Much of Christianity, so-called, is actually anti-Christ. It ignores Christ. It rejects Christ. It casts aside Jesus Christ for other ways, for other methods. Again, pluralism. In this age of pluralism, there's a so-called Christianity that allows plenty of room for the things we've just mentioned. It allows for that. And it allows plenty of room for self and plenty of room for human reasoning. And plenty of room for philosophy, for the world, for the ways of the world, for the friendship of the world, or with the world. Pluralism. There's other ways in people's mind. There's other ways to live the so-called Christian life other than Jesus Christ. Yet Paul declared in Colossians 3 verse 11, Christ is all. Christ is all. And the Bible teaches that the life that we are called to and responsible to live is something that is not occasional. It is not sporadic. It is not limited to certain places on certain days at certain times. It is not dependent upon circumstances. It is not dependent upon convenience. But it is a life that is saturated with Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can live this life. What do I mean by saturated with Jesus Christ? It means that when we come to make decisions, it's Christ. We consider Jesus Christ. When we make choices, we consider Jesus Christ. When it comes to our motives, we consider Jesus Christ. Our aims, our purposes, our hopes, all center around Jesus Christ. Our relationships, our employments, our homes, our marriages. It's all by Him. It all centers around Jesus Christ. But in an age of pluralism, people have other ideas. They want to do it other ways. And they want to bypass Jesus Christ. And the so-called Christian life they live is a miserable, miserable failure. And is blasphemous. The life that you and I that are saved are called to and responsible to live cannot tolerate any other way than Jesus Christ. We live in a day of tolerance. We're supposed to tolerate everything. That's part of living in a pluralistic society, pluralistic culture. But the life we are called to live cannot tolerate any other way than Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can live this life. Now each of these phrases in our text, even by Him, neither is there in any other and none other, all refer to Christ in relation to salvation. But they also apply to the life that we are called and responsible to live. There's no other way. There's no other way that you can live this life. You can't live this life outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus emphatically declared in John 14:6, I am the way. That's true in salvation. That's also true in the life we're called to live. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is saying, I am the only way that an individual can be saved. And I am the only way that that saved individual can live the life that I have called them to live. No man but by me. Jesus Christ is the way that spans the distance between us and God. You cannot live the life that we are called to live as God's people distanced from God. Can't do it. It's not possible. And Jesus Christ is the way that connects that distance. So without Him, we can't live this life. He is the way out of. Jesus Christ is the way out of the enslavement and the power of sin. You cannot live the life that the Bible teaches us to live if we are enslaved and under the power of sin. It cannot happen. And Jesus Christ is the way out of. In other words, it's by Him. It's by Him. He is the way from the darkness of sin. He is the way from the ignorance of sin and the blindness of sin. And you can't live this life in darkness. You can't live this life in blindness and ignorance. Talking about the Christian life. He is the way from the despair and the devastation of sin. You cannot live this Christian life in a spirit of despair. Jesus Christ is the way out. In other words, it's by Him that we live this life. You cannot live this life entangled in the snares of sin. Cannot live this life wandering in endless circles. You cannot live this life from in the restlessness and the barrenness of sin. Jesus Christ is the way out of those things. In other words, The life that we are called to live is by Him. He is the way. He is the way. Now, in an age of pluralism, people have all kinds. Well, we can do it this way. We can do it that way. He is the way. There is no other way. You cannot live the life that we are called to live and bypass Jesus Christ. He is the way out of the defeat of sin. You cannot live this life, which is a victorious life, if you're living in the defeat of sin. And Jesus Christ is the way out. He's also the way into. He's the way out. He's the way in. He's the way unto abundant life. He's the way unto liberty. He's the way unto improvement. Spiritual improvement. He's the way into communion with God and fellowship with God. He's the way. He's the way into a life of direction, into a life of purpose, into a life of joy, into a life of peace and healing and assurance and comfort. He's the way into these things. If we do not have those things, it's because you've tried to get them going another way. He's the way to those things. You need comfort? He's the way. You need peace? He's the way. You need strength? He's the way. You need fulfillment? He's the way. If you try to find any other way, you're going to come up short every single time. He's the way to live this life. And again, pluralism has entered into the lives of God's people. And again, you talk especially to young people today, and pluralism is pretty strong. It really is. There's other ways. Oh yeah, there are. But not to this life. Not to the Christian life. There's only one way. Jesus Christ. There's a lot of other ways, and they all lead to destruction. Jesus Christ, it's by Him. So He's the way out of, He's the way into, He's also the way through. Life is going to consist of trials. Life is going to consist of difficulties. Life is going to consist of struggles and adversities and burdens. And many times these things come into life, and the one who professes to be saved, the child of God, they may be saved. These things stop them because they're trying to find other ways through them. There's only one way through, and that's Him. He's the only way through the trials. He's the only way through the struggles. He's the only way through the stresses. He's the only way through the calamities and the sorrows. He's the only way through the wind and the tempest and the dry places and the weary land. He's the only way through the storm and the battles and the struggles. Pluralism is going to suggest all kinds of ways, but He's the only way to get through it. He's the only way. So not only is Jesus everything in our salvation, He's everything in the life that we are called to live. So we need to know this. It is by Him. We need to know it, and we need to practice it concerning the life that we live. It is by Him. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Now, we see pluralism all through the Word of God. It's nothing new. It's been around forever. And God's people, if they're going to live for God, cannot get entangled in the thought process of pluralism, that there's other ways, there's other methods. All through the Word of God, the heathen, they had different gods than the Israelites. And we know that the Israelites many times adopted the gods of the heathen, because they got caught up in pluralism. They thought there's other ways. And that's what happens. But all through the Old Testament, the heathen had different gods. And they respected the gods of their neighbors. That's the thing about idolaters. They respect other idolaters. But they had an intolerance. They respected the false gods of other nations, but they had an intolerance of the one and only God. So it is today in our society. Oh, they can tolerate a lot of ways, but they have absolutely no tolerance for the one way. The king of Egypt in the Bible would confess that the gods of Nineveh were real gods. The king of Babylon would acknowledge the gods of the Philistines. But amongst God's people, there was to be no tolerance of other gods. And every time Israel fell, went into captivity, the book of Judges, and on we can go, it was because they embraced other gods. They embraced other ways. They got caught up in pluralism. And they failed. And they fell. The very first commandment states this fact, thou shalt have no other gods. That's exclusive. No other gods before me. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So there was to be no tolerance for anything else. And when God's people in the Old Testament came into contact with these nations who were multicultural, let me say something. Multiculturalism isn't all that great, that everybody thinks, oh, this is so wonderful. It presents some problems. And one of the problems is gods of other cultures. That's a different message. But when God's people came into contact with these nations, these heathen nations, what were they to do? Well, the Bible says they were to break down the images in pieces. They were to cut down the groves. They were to throw down the high places and the altars. In other words, there was to be no tolerance for any other way. There was to be no tolerance for any other god. People can't understand that today. But if we're going to live this life that we're called to live, there can be no tolerance for any other way than Jesus Christ. He's the only way. So when people say, well, we're intolerant, well, thank you. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. That means we don't fit in with a world that tolerates just about everything. So we must realize if we're going to live the Christian life, we must break down, we must cut down, we must throw down all ways that are contrary to Jesus Christ if we're going to live this life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way we can rise above pluralism is Jesus. It's the only way. So in these times, we need our lives to declare that it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we live this life? How do we not get caught in pluralism? How do we keep from being convinced, well, you know, I prefer Christ, but you know, His way is fine. Hopefully no one here is in danger of such a thought process. But there are many who profess to be God's people who are, who have bought into that. Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but you know, we can. Pluralism. So how do we keep from becoming a victim of such? Jesus said, follow me. That's exclusive. Follow me. That is a call to something greater. He's greater than all. Follow me. That is a call to rise above pluralism, pluralistic ways of so-called Christianity. Again, notice the exclusiveness. Follow me. In the midst of the so-called ways to serve the Lord, we need to hear those words. Follow me. 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 You need to hear that. We need to hear Jesus say, me. Follow me. There's no other way. There's no other way to live the Christian life. Follow me. If you follow human reasoning, you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to have a miserable testimony. If you make exceptions, same thing is true. It is very simple. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the event, no matter what the time, no matter what the place, this is the instruction. Follow me. Follow me. It's the only way that we can rise above a pluralistic society. It's the only way that we avoid being taken in by a pluralistic society. Follow me. In the pluralistic age in which we live, they strive and they have succeeded in many cases to make others feel guilty if you do not accept all these other ways. Make you start to think, well, maybe something's wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with you. If you are following Jesus Christ, don't start second-guessing your thought process. That's what you're supposed to do. Follow me. And it doesn't matter how politically incorrect it may be. There's only one way. And it's Jesus Christ. It is a call to live for Him. Follow me. Again, there's a Christianity out there, so-called, that wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. There are people that we all know people who claim to be saved and they want absolutely nothing to do with Christ. Christ offends them. This is a call to live for Him. Well, I will live for Him, but I just won't do it your way or the Bible way. That's the only way there is. Follow me. It's a call to live for Him. It is a call to live life set apart for Him. It is a call to live serving Him. It is a life shaped by Him. It is Him having the preeminence. You get the picture. It is Him. It is Him. He is the priority. He is the emphasis. He is the dominating factor. And if that is not so, then we fail. And we fail miserably. He must be the subject. He must be the center of all that we do and think. When you look at that lame man standing before the council, he's really not the subject. The subject is the one who healed him, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is to be the subject of our life. Follow me. You and I will not do that unless we are attracted to Him. We must be having attraction to Jesus Christ. Follow me. That speaks of a determination to do so. It speaks of a resolve for Jesus Christ. It speaks of a yearning, a longing, an eagerness, and even an enthusiasm for Christ. Follow me. It is a call to imitate him. It is a call to obey him. It is a call to be fully committed to him, to lean upon him, to cleave to him, to personally experience him. Follow me. It's life for him. And this life is to be thorough. It's to include everything. There is nothing in our life that is to exclude Jesus Christ. Nothing. He is to be included in every aspect of our life. So that makes it fanatical, single-minded, obsessive, if you will. It's a good thing to obsess over Jesus Christ. Follow me. It is living life with him being a relevant force, a relevant power in our life. It means that we have a heart and a desire to honor him, to exalt him, to glorify him, to love him, to worship him, to love him, to live for him without reservation. Follow me. When we begin to take other ways, when we begin to take other roads, Christ gets pushed to the side. And pretty soon Christianity becomes meaningless. If there's a single child of God that would disagree or buck at anything that we've mentioned thus far about following him, it is because you have fallen into pluralism. It is because pluralism has encroached upon your way of life and your view of life. There should not be a child of God anywhere that would have the least bit of problem with everything we just said about following Jesus Christ. That should not be problematic to anyone. No one should find, I understand the world finding everything wrong with that, but there should not be a single child of God that would get upset about any of that. And yet there are many who claim to be saved, who get very disturbed if you say it's all about Christ. They're not much better than those Sadducees. They want to fit Christ in wherever they want to. They want to put him up on a shelf, and use him whenever they need him. Live like the devil the rest of the week. That's not the life that we're called to live. It is Jesus. That's how we're to live this life. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, Brother Mark spoke this morning, looking unto Jesus. That's how you avoid the pluralistic ways of the religious world. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. It's not a doctrine that we're to look unto. It's not dogma that we're to look unto. But it's a person. Jesus Christ. At salvation, who did you look to? You looked unto him. Was he the only one you looked to? Sure was. You didn't look to anyone else. If you did, you're not saved. You look solely unto Jesus Christ. Now we're to live for him. Who are we to look to? Him. No one else. We're to look unto him. That phrase, looking unto Jesus, it's in the context of running a race, literally means looking away from other objects to him. We have to learn to look away from a lot of things unto him. Look away from the obstacles and the difficulties. Look on Him. Because He's the way through it. He's the way through it. Look away from the threats and the promises of the world and the ways of the world and the thinking of the world and the ideas of the world. You look away from those things unto Him. Unto Him. Don't fall for the promises of the world. Look away from those promises. Look unto Him. Because His promises are much, much greater. We have to look unto Him. Looking unto Him, we see who He is. We see who He is. And we hear what He speaks. And we do what He says. And we follow where He leads. That's what it means to look unto Him. It's not a careless glance. It's looking intently unto Jesus Christ. I believe it's a submissive look. It's a look of love. It means that our heart is occupied with Him. We've been captivated by Jesus Christ. Too many of God's people are captivated with the pluralistic ways of society and the religious world. And they need to be captivated with Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, what do we see? We see God. We see God. We see God who's over all. Looking unto Jesus, we see the excellency and we see the glory and the beauty and the perfection of God. Looking unto Jesus, we see the great love that God has for us in His Son. Looking unto Jesus is the way to overcome. There's no other way. He's the way. It's by Him. Looking unto Jesus, we are changed into His likeness. It's Jesus. He's our focal point. If we're going to live this life, the one we're supposed to live, it's Jesus. We're to follow Him. We're to look unto Him. And then we're to consider Him. Something else, Brother Mark spoke of in his devotion. Which we're to ponder Him and think about Him. To give very careful attention to Him. We're to take Him into account. When are we to do that? All the time. Circumstances do not dictate when we do this. We're to do this in all circumstances. We're to think of Jesus Christ. And if we're constantly thinking of Him, then we're not distracted by all the pluralistic ways of the religious world. Consider Him. Meditate upon Him. Meditate upon Him every single day. Meditate upon Jesus Christ. Weigh well who He is. The place that He occupies, the place that He took. Weigh well His infinite perfection of His person. Weigh well His deeds. Consider Him. In everything you do, consider Him. If God's people were to do that, there'd be a lot of things they wouldn't do. Consider Him. Consider Him. You won't parade around half naked if you consider Him. It's not even going to be an issue. You're not going to go to a tavern if you consider Him. It'll keep you from doing a lot of things. It'll keep you from going to a lot of places. Consider Him. Everything that you experience, everything that comes your way, think about Him. Because He's the only way through it. And He's the only way you'll rise above it. Without Me, you can do nothing. So you better consider Him. Not only is He everything in our salvation, He's everything in the life that a saved person needs. So again, in salvation, it was Jesus, not any other. It was Christ. No other. It was none other. It was by Him. There's no doubt about that. We do not give credit to anyone else other than the Lord for our salvation. Someone preached to us, someone told us, they don't get the credit. They don't get the credit. That's like giving a pen the credit for a writing on a piece of paper. That pen couldn't do anything. It's the one who held the pen. Jesus is to get all the credit. God's to get all the glory. And so it is in living the life that we're called to and responsible to live. Don't ever lose sight of Jesus Christ. Don't let circumstances cause you to lose sight of Jesus Christ. Don't let events cause you to lose sight of Jesus Christ. Don't let emotions cause you to lose sight of Jesus Christ. Because once you do, you're now on a road to ruin your testimony. You're now on a road to ruin your life. Consider Christ. It's Him all the time. And many of God's people, I say many of God's people, I mean many who profess to be God's people, have bought into the pluralistic ways of society. There's a scary thought process amongst God's people concerning homosexuality and a lot of other issues. And all it is they're adopting pluralistic ways. And they've lost sight of Jesus Christ. And just like the Israelites were to be intolerant of false gods, there's no tolerance for these things in the real Christian life. So always remember, it was Jesus that saved your soul. It is Jesus that enables you to live the Christian life. Someone says, well, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Christ in us. It's Christ in us. It's Jesus. It's the only way that you and I can live the life that we're supposed to live. That's why it's so important that we do not get distracted by other ways. You can't even give thought. Well, you know, that sounds pretty good. You better stop. You better stop right where you are. Because if a way that is contrary to Christ is starting to sound good to you, you'd better get on your knees right then and there. You're headed down a wrong road. You're following a very dangerous thought process. Well, you know, it makes sense. He's got a point. You're in trouble. You're headed for disaster. You better stop right there. Don't go any further. You need to get your eyes back on Christ. It's the only way. So if you're here tonight without Christ, as we said this morning, the only way you'll ever be saved, and you must be saved. If you're going to go to heaven, you must be saved. There's no other way. And if you're going to be saved, it's going to be Jesus Christ that saves you. No one else can save you. And if you're going to live the Christian life, the life that glorifies God, it's going to be a life by Him. It's going to be a life all about Him. He's the reason. He's the cause. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.